Our first speaker is going to be Joe Wolverton. He's a constitutional attorney. Now, I know that sounds like a contradiction in terms, but it is true, ladies and gentlemen. So those in the media understand constitutional attorney, it's true. So we've got attorneys, peace officers, constitutionalists, those who want to obey the law, all involved in what we're doing. All right, so it is being videotaped now, and it will be available at freedomsvoicemedia.com in edited, downloadable form and viewable form tomorrow. So if you want audio and video, you're free to download it. We have a very strange copyright. Are you ready for it? You have the right to copy. Please do. All right, without further ado, we're going to get started. We're going to start with Joe Wolverton, and he's going to talk about nullification from an attorney's perspective on the legal reality of nullification and a little bit about what we ought to be doing here in the state of Utah. Joe.
You have a different mic?
Is this yeah, working? Working.
There you go.
Is the projector working, guys, or?
I don't see an image.
No, no, sir, it's not. You might need to press a function key on your computer to get it to feed up there.
Yeah, let's see.
It was on standby.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so it's up now?
It's coming.
Looks like it's getting warm.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Okay.
Yeah. You're welcome, Sheriff Mack.
Ask everybody.
You're welcome.
Ask everybody if the volume's good, though.
Is the volume good? Can y'all hear me? Can you hear me?
Too loud?
Yep.
Good.
Sounds good. Everybody in the back can hear? Good. There we go. Now we are cooking with the proverbial gas. It's not working right. Can we go a little bit? Can we go a little bit further out?
That's it.
That's it? Okay. We'll just rock with this. I am Joe Wolverton. I write for the New American Magazine. Regularly, I'm the John Burke Society expert on nullification, states' rights. And half my time is spent writing for the New American and reporting on nullification from a constitutional perspective. And half my time is spent traveling around speaking. I've spoken at several of Sheriff Mack's conventions. I am a posse member, as you can see by my my star. So encourage you all to do that for sure. We are, as Sheriff Mack said, at a point in the history of this republic where we can no longer look to Washington to solve any of the problems that Washington created. Amen?
Yeah.
We are at the point now where we would be better off if that place reverted to the swamp that it once was. Our founding fathers never should have drained that place. But they did, and now we have the problem. But there is... Yes, ma'am. Oh, Joe. My first name is Joe, and my last name is Wolverton. W-O-L-V-E-R-T-O-N. From the New American Magazine. So yeah, go to thenewamerican.com and read all the revolutionary things that I've said about nullification and secession and that sort of thing. Secession is the S word that no one wants to talk about, right? No one wants to mention that word. When people interview me on radio and TV, that's the first thing they want to talk about because it's so revolutionary. Secession. Well, have you heard the three words Declaration of Independence? That's a secessionary document, is it not? Did we not secede from a union that no longer achieved the goals for which it was established? Do we not ourselves now witness a long train of abuses, as Thomas Jefferson said, much longer than anything he ever knew of? Thomas Jefferson didn't know a long train of abuses the way we know a long train of abuses. We are absolutely within our rights to secede from a political union that no longer answers the demands of liberty and justice. Absolutely free to do that. Now, the federal government will tell you no, and we'll get to that in a minute. But what we have here is we have a constitution that is essentially, legally speaking, an agency agreement. That's a principal-agent contract. As the states were the principals, they created an agency agreement with something called the federal government. The federal government is the agent of the states to cover a few defined areas of authority. The boundaries of the agency are in the Constitution, that is to say, the contract. I have an agent that books my speaking gigs for me. Is my agent in our agency contract, that's all he can do. He can book speaking gigs for me. If he went out and bought a car in my name, would I have to pay for that car? No, absolutely not. That's not in the agency agreement that we created. Could he go out and buy a house in my name? No, because it's not in the contract. Well, every day our agent, the federal government, does scores, hundreds of things that are not in the contract. Therefore, we have the legal right to rescind that contract. Do we not? Imagine if you have a contract with a home builder. You have blueprints, you have a contract, you want a 5,000 square foot house, you want 4 bedrooms, and that's it. You got the blueprint. You go back to your house, you come back in a few months, and that home builder has dug a pool. It's not in the blueprints, not in the contract. He's dug a pool, and he's presenting you the bill for it. Are you going to pay the bill for that pool?
No.
No, because it's not in the contract. But for some reason, all of us, all the states, continue paying the bills for things done that violate the contract. Whose fault is that? It is our fault. We are not forcing our state representatives. As Sheriff Mack said, turn your back on Washington. Forget about it. Because any act that they do that violates the Constitution is null, void, and of no legal effect according to the Constitution. You have your powers. Do anything beyond those powers, it mattereth not to the states. Because we're not going to do it. We live in an area that has a homeowners association. They tell us how long the grass has to be, can't paint your house orange, don't put the trailer on the yard, that kind of stuff. And you sign that covenant when you get the house, right? And you know what's in it. If your homeowner's president, association president, came to you and said, hey Joe, we're going to need you to go ahead and swap out that Toyota you're driving for a Cadillac. Would I have to run out and buy a Cadillac? Would I?
Of course not.
No, of course not. They don't have the power to do that. But our federal government is doing that every day to us. And for some reason, we just put our heads down and sign the check and keep going on. Where are our state lawmakers who are going to stand on the steps in Salt Lake City and when the check comes from Washington, rip it up and say, no farther? Where are they? We don't have any. If we did, we'd know about it, would we not? We'd hear about it. I go and I testify at this legislature, Salt Lake, and I'm told by Republican conservatives who should be on the side of liberty, right? I'm told by them, Joe, we lost the fight. We fought hard, we did what we could, but we lost. I didn't lose.
I didn't lose.
The Constitution still exists, as far as I know. We still have the right to force these state legislatures to nullify. If it's not in the contract, federal government, you can't do it. Not only can you not do it, let's suppose you go do it. We're not going to obey. But how many millions of us get on the Obamacare website, yes, master, and fill it out? And why? Where's the legal, constitutional compulsion to do that? There isn't any at all. Now here I have Brother Madison. Little Jimmy, as I like to call him. 5'4", President of the United States, can you imagine? He, in the Federalist Papers, was answering the charge by Patrick Henry that said, Patrick Henry, great hero, great statesman, great patriot, he warned at the Virginia Ratification Convention. He said, this federal government that you've created will consume all power until the states are obliterated. James, who's a prophet now, Patrick Henry? James Madison writes in the Federalist. James Madison was at that meeting. He goes home and he writes, Federalist number 46, and he says, with all due respect to my learned colleague, there's no way that would happen in America. There's no way we would ever see the federal government consolidate all power and obliterate the states. It would never happen. The phrase he uses, what degree of madness would grip the people of the United States and allow them to allow a federal government to assume all power over them, to deny them of the fundamental liberties we fought so hard to restore? What degree of madness? We just need to get a time machine, bring him here, and he can answer the question for himself. Five things James Madison said in Federalist number 46. Five things he said would prevent the United States from ever walking the road that Patrick Henry predicted. First, the United States would never, men and women of the United States, men at the time, would never elect men ready to betray the states. Has that happened? Check. We, in the United States, we would never build up a military establishment. Have we done that? Check. States would never allow the feds to consolidate power that doesn't belong to them. State militias, at a last resort, would repel the danger. Do you know a single state with an independent militia strong enough to withstand the United States Army? No, it does not exist. States finally would be a barrier against this ambition. Well, Brother Madison, I hate to say it, but in this one, Patrick Henry comes off as the more prophetic. Have we elected traitors? Absolutely. Well, you wouldn't know because the image is not there, but yes, we have elected traitors, absolutely. Both parties continue, both parties continue to grow the federal government and burden the states and the people. Both parties continue to burden us. So yes, we have, despite the hope expressed by James Madison, elected traitors. Have we built up, this does not go as fast as it should, have we built up a military industrial establishment? Yes, we have, absolutely. We've built up an enormous military industrial complex where the congressmen get campaign money from the defense contractors. The congressmen then vote to expand foreign wars, who bring in more revenue to the defense contractors, who have more money to give to congressmen who are running. A big circle, revolving door. And what do the congressmen do when they're out of office? They go become lobbyists for the defense contractors. Sorry. The militia. Boy, you like to think of Lexington and Concord. It just couldn't happen today, could it? If the federal government, for example, when Sam Brownback, governor of Kansas, signed the law in Kansas nullifying federal gun control laws, and Eric Holder says, we will send in agents of the federal government to enforce federal laws by all means necessary. If Eric Holder and Barack Obama decided to send federal troops to Kansas, would there be enough power in the people of Kansas to resist? We are being disarmed. Are we not? Yet we read every day of millions upon millions of rounds being purchased for government agents, while we can barely find ammunition.
That's billions for the B.
Yeah, absolutely. We cannot withstand it, and that is the ultimate goal. Now, this is something, and I hope you're all paying attention. I've been covering for the past few days in the New American statements by so-called conservatives who are arguing that we should fight Obamacare in a different way, because at the end of the day, federal law trumps state law. They all say, have you not read Article 6, the Supremacy Clause? Federal law trumps state law. Do you know how many people sitting here right now believe that? I'm not going to have you raise your hand. But there are people, you'd be surprised how many conservatives, how many constitutionalists believe, at the end of the day, that's where we hit the wall. Federal law trumps state law. Well, maybe they need to read Article 6 a little more closely. Article 6, the relevant clause, reads, the Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made, shall be the supreme law of the land. Well, there's the phrase that pays. In pursuance thereof. Not in defiance thereof. If the federal government passes an act that is in defiance of the Constitution, of the powers granted to it in the Constitution, that act is not the law. Not only is it not the supreme law, it's not the law at all. Where there is no power given in the Constitution, there is no law. Congress cannot pass a law which violates its the constitutional limits on its authority. So, supremacy clause nonsense, not happening. In pursuit, anytime someone brings that up to you, please whip out your Constitution that we all carry all the time and say, you're missing three important words in the so-called supremacy clause. You're missing the words in pursuance thereof. Right? Right. Federalist number 33, Alexander Hamilton, explains it. He put a really fine point on it. So look this up when you get home. Federalist number 33, Alexander Hamilton. It will not follow from this doctrine that acts of the large society, meaning the federal government, which are not pursuant to its constitutional powers, but which are invasions of the residuary authorities of the smaller societies, meaning the states, will become the supreme law of the land. These will be merely acts of usurpation and will deserve to be treated as such. How do we treat acts of usurpation?
Hanging. Prosecution to the fullest extent of the law.
How about we just ignore it?
Yeah.
How about we just ignore it? Yeah, just ignore it. Now, that's not to say that the federal government won't come for us, right? But our state legislators are duty-bound. Article 6, Clause 3, places a constitutional duty upon state legislatures to uphold the Constitution. Maybe we'd get a little more fire lit under some of these state lawmakers in Salt Lake and other places if on day one of the next legislative session, we got some process servers showing up at all their offices because they're being sued for dereliction of their constitutional duties. Maybe we get some attention. How many state lawmakers do you know want to be sued and then have our pals in the media show up asking why they're being sued? Maybe part of the discovery process, we start looking into how they got elected. I don't know. Just spitballing. But I do know that Article 6, Clause 3 requires them to uphold the Constitution, and they're not doing it at all. And that is a dereliction of their duty, and that is actionable in law. Okay.
That's your 5 minute or 1 minute warning, Joe.
My 1 minute warning? Okay. Oh my gosh, I hadn't even cleared my throat, y'all. All right, let's do this. I want to say this really quick. So, supremacy clause, I'm just going to talk about this really quick. 1 minute. The question everybody, every conservative asks me, every conservative big air quotes talk show host, when I go on the radio, they say, Joe, the Civil War settled the issue of nullification. The North won, nullification, unconstitutional. Okay, the Civil War settled one thing. Might makes right. The North beat down the South, and therefore what the North says is right. Let me tell you something. Yes, I'm from the South. Yes, I know. I'm still bitter. But this has nothing to do with my personal animosity toward the War of Northern Aggression. This has to do... Hey, look, when it's true, it's true. This has to do with the concept of nullification and how the Civil War applies, right? The Civil War... Imagine this analogy really quick. You and your neighbor. Common boundary between your property. Your neighbor comes and starts building a shed. It's 3 or 4 feet over your property line. What's that going to do when you try to sell your property? It encumbers it, correct? So your neighbor, building the shed, happy as he wants to be, and you walk out there, you're just walking the property line, and you say, hey man, your shed's about 4 feet over the property line. Noted. No, it really is, man. I've got the drawings right here from the county. Your shed is built 4 feet over the line. Noted. No, I mean serious. Your shed is over the line. Boom! And he floors me. Now, is his definition of the property line the legally correct one? Just because he knocked me out? No. Then the Civil War did not settle the issue of nullification. Okay? So, one last thing. Nullification, every issue, every time, no exceptions. Every issue, every time, no exceptions until we restore federalism and the rule of law in the United States. Thanks.
Now, I can't talk as long as Joe because I'm a little scared of the media. Now, actually, what I want to say to the media is this. We follow the Prince of Peace, and that's a quote. I also want to say that our goal is very clear. We don't preach revolution. We preach restoration of the Republic, the greatest country on the face of the earth that has afforded more liberty to more people than any organization slash society you could find in history. So we want to follow the Prince of Peace, and we preach restoration. And we use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, as our guide with dual sovereignties. Before we get to Richard Mack, I just want to... A lady told me a joke last night, and I don't get credit for it, but her joke was so good I just thought I'd tell it to you. Can I do that?
Yes, you can.
And this lady came up to me and she said, I want to tell you a joke. And I don't think she wants her name said, so I'm not going to say it. But she came up to me and she said, listen, a bunch of surgeons were sitting around a table, and they're kind of morbid, but they were talking about who they like to do surgery on the most. And so one surgeon's like, hey, I like to do surgery on the plumbers. And all you do is line everything up, flush it out, you're good to go. And then the next one said, well, I like to work on electricians. All you got to do is match red, red, blue, blue, green, green, and you're good. And then before you know it, the next one said, I like to work on politicians the best. No heart, no soul. And best of all, they can't remember anything. And the best part? No accountability. Just saying. All right, so I want to really quickly recap the CSPOA and who Sheriff Richard Mack is. Everyone knows Sheriff Richard Mack, the lone Graham County Sheriff. I get to call him little old sheriff from Graham County, Arizona. The federal government said, you will do the Brady Bill, and we're not going to give you any funding for it. And Sheriff Mack said, no, I won't. And they said, yes, you will. And he said, no, I won't. And they said, yes, you will. And he said, you want to go to court? And they said, yes. So they all went to court. And, well, the federal government agreed with Sheriff Richard Mack and told the Clinton administration to fly a kite. All right, everybody knows that story. If you don't, you've been living under a rock. Nevertheless, what's happened since, I believe, is really critical. It cost about $400,000 for Richie to beat Bill. Can you believe that? $400,000 and a lot of guts, right? Well, anyway, since then, some tremendous things have happened, making Sheriff Richard Mack's Supreme Court case win, a landmark decision for the 10th Amendment, for states' rights, and what is called dual sovereignty. Sheriff Mack will get into dual sovereignty, and he'll quote words of Justice Scalia, and that way the media can get Scalia's quotes, not mine. How's that? But I digress. I'm just telling you that since then, some incredible things have happened, and I want to highlight a couple of them. Number one, there's a sheriff by the name of Brad Rogers. And Brad Rogers is a constitutional sheriff and learned about the CSPOA and learned about who we are and what we do and that we stand for the rule of law. And so an Amish farmer came to him and said, hey, you know what? The government's coming down on me regarding raw milk. I mean, could you imagine drinking milk? You got to fill out a form for that. Anyway, so what happened is this farmer said, you know what? They're harassing me and they're trying to take away my farm. They're giving me all kind of problems. And Sheriff Rogers said, not in my county, they're not. Are you with me, farmer? The farmer said, yes. So Sheriff Rogers drafted a letter to the federal government and said, hey, we hear that you're coming in here. You're not coming in here on my watch. He's passed every test that you've given him. He's passed with flying colors. And you're not coming in my county anymore. You'll be arrested. And the government smirked and laughed and said, Sheriff, we'll arrest you if you don't quit playing games. Sheriff said, come in my county and we'll see who's playing games. They've left him alone for a couple of years. If that doesn't show you the proper role of elected county officials, I don't know what does. Did you know that? Has the media been telling you all about these stories? Because they ought to be. Okay, there's more. You've got sheriffs around the country. Anybody know who Sheriff Joe Arpaio is?
Yes.
All right, well, he's investigating Barack Hussein. And he's convinced that the documents that support the purported birth certificate are forged. Ooh, they're in the Alabama Supreme Court right now. Guess who's the Supreme Court Justice? Do you know? Judge Roy Moore.
All right.
That's the Ten Commandments judge that decided the Ten Commandments were more important than sitting in a robe. You see how the power of one makes a tremendous difference? You got Richard Mack, Roy Moore, Joe Arpaio, just a few, right? Brad Rogers. See, these things are happening as a result of Richard Mack's case, and it's becoming a landmark decision for states' rights, for the proper role of dual sovereignty government, with the design of all levels of government in their own jurisdictions, using the checks and balances of the founders to preserve liberty for the people. There's more examples. I don't want to tell you all of them, but I'll tell you one. There's a guy by the name of Sheriff Nick Fitch in, believe it or not, a place called Liberty County, Florida. Oh, I know, Liberty County. Well, what happened is there's this guy who was driving down the road and he had a gun. And a cop pulled him over, and he got out of the car and he said, listen, officer, I have a couple of guns. And they arrested him because he didn't have a, quote, concealed carry permit. They booked him in, got down. The sheriff found out about it, Sheriff Nick Finch. The Sheriff Nick Finch said, I believe in the Second Amendment. This guy's done nothing wrong. Sheriff, deputy shouldn't have arrested him. We're letting him go. The governor of the state of Florida freaked. And they arrested Sheriff Nick Finch. True story. And they didn't, try to investigate. They didn't ask for his assistance in the investigation. They just simply violated protocol to the umpth degree. Now here's the funny part. Sheriff Nick Finch had not heard about the CSPOA. He didn't even know who we were. But he was a law-abiding, elected, Second Amendment believing in public official in the county of Liberty County. Well, it's not too liberty-loving when they arrest the sheriff, but they did. So then he says, fine, I'm taking you to court to get my job back. They smirked and laughed because they're the government and they can do anything. Well, what happened is then they came to him and they offered him a plea bargain. He said, have you lost your mind? I'm not doing that. Well, they suspended him without pay. Unprecedented, I might add. But the CSPOA raised over $45,000 and kept him alive. Yeah. Eventually, they went to a court case. They went to the state Supreme Court, Richard?
No, county jury.
County jury. All right, so they went. We thought it was going to be a barbecue. The jury said, you know what, government, you're out of line. Reinstate him immediately. He's been reinstated as sheriff with back pay. Now, here's the point. The power of one is incredible, and individuals are getting involved. And just because the government says so, that doesn't mean it is so. And what we as Americans need to understand is the rule of law, the peaceful restoration of the republic, and we need to stand for liberty. So now there's liberty in Liberty County, and there's no more issue with that guy that supposedly had a gun. He had a Second Amendment right. The sheriff defended his right, and the governor got shut down. I think somebody ought to sue the governor and take it to the next level, though, and find out what made that barbecue happen. Why did they just arrest the sheriff and not investigate? What's behind all that? I don't know. I'm just telling you, though, that because an American, Sheriff Nick Finch, was willing to stand, there's greater liberty in Liberty County. And guess the best part? He's now part of the CSPOA. And as we gain more Americans as part of the CSPOA, we are on the 24th of January. We will be in Las Vegas. We're going to invite the top 50 to 100 constitutional sheriffs in the nation, and they will be drafting one illegal defense fund for sheriffs. Because the sad part is, even though Sheriff Nick Finch won in Liberty County, he still owes about, what, 60,000 illegal bills?
Yeah.
I'm guessing, I can't remember the numbers. Okay, 60,000. Okay, that shouldn't be, should it? He won, but he lost. The government's just saying, hey, I'll just run all of y'all out of money, and it doesn't matter if you win, you'll eventually lose. Not if we have anything to say about it. We will peacefully raise the money. We will put a battery of attorneys together who believe in the Constitution and who will defend these attorneys. And then we'll have the American people put a dollar a day in for liberty or something and raise enough money to keep these sheriffs free who are defending our rights. And sheriffs will be backed by Americans. All right, I wouldn't give Sheriff Mack a great introduction except for you already know who he is. So I'll just tell you right now, though, this. I have never had greater honor to serve in an organization that is transparent, that stands for liberty, and actually points to things they are doing. Not talk, but literally action. Like the action of Sheriff Nick Finch. Like the action of Joe Arpaio. Like the action of Sheriff Richard Mack going to the Supreme Court. Like the action of Sheriff Rogers. And I only name but a few. The DVD set that you get when you become a member of the CSPOA for $35, you get the free DVD set. It's 17 hours. And I'm telling you, it's elected official after elected official, after sheriff, after sheriff, after police chief, standing up and telling you they will defend the Constitution with their lives. Telling you they will keep their oaths of office. These aren't people that want to do good, and if they get elected, they promise they'll do. These are already people taking action who are elected by we the people. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Sheriff Richard Mack.
Now, we still need to get some ladies sitting down. Put them on top of the piano, whatever you have to do.
There's a suite up here.
There's a seat right here for the closest one.
There's room for three or four right here.
And while you're doing that, we need... I know a lot of people are already standing.
Four ladies.
We got a lot of people standing, but we also want to recognize all public officials that are here tonight. If you could hurry up and just say who you are and what position you hold.
Ken Christopherson, I'm a state representative in District 56, which is this area.
Who's next? Thank you. Who's next? State or county or city official? Kurt?
Kurt Oda, state representative in Davis County. And I've got my sheriff here, too.
Yeah!
One of the members of the
say your name real quick, Sheriff.
Todd Richardson.
Yeah!
Woo! And still going to work this way, city councilman?
Tim Irwin, Highland City Council.
Okay. Wait, don't clap. Let's hear. Don't clap.
Clap.
Hold on. Don't clap. Clap at the end like a symphony.
Alan Christensen, state senator from North Iowa.
Good job. Don't clap. Don't clap. We don't have time to clap.
Brian Thompson, Utah County Clerk Auditor.
Yeah.
Okay. Right in through here. Anybody else? Raise your hand. State official.
Lamar Christensen, Utah House of Representatives.
Somebody claps again, I'm going to knock you.
I'm Mike Kennedy, State Rep from Alpine Highlands, Cedar Hills. Thanks.
Okay, next, don't clap. Don't clap. Roger, you a state official yet? Okay.
There's one in the back.
All right. Anybody else in the back?
In the back.
Hey, the tall guy at the door. Who else is back there? Okay, any other state, city officials, county officials?
City councilman for Syracuse out in Davis County.
Thanks for being here. All right, don't clap. Okay, what? Ready?
Carlton Bowen, city councilman elect for American Port City.
Good job. Thank you, Carlton. Okay, anybody else? Right here?
Ricky Hatch, Weber County Clerk.
Ricky Hatch? Okay. Anybody else? Man, we got them.
Do we have southern part of the office?
We got them all over. Okay, anybody else? Bert Smith?
Yeah.
Bert Smith's one of the best officials we've ever had in this state, and I think he's just been the most important thing about it, and he's probably one of the most valuable Utah citizens ever in the history of the state. Thanks for being here, Bert. Kathy, thanks for being here.
We'll clap for citizens.
Now, this got so crowded in here, we weren't able to do this, but I got Jason and Rob and my son Rich and my daughter Lucy. Everybody's supposed to be having this. Kurt, they're in the white box.
Oh yeah.
Everybody's supposed to have one of these, so we're going to try to pass these out. We also still want every one of you to leave here. The only thing we're asking is that you become involved with CSPOA. What Sam just reviewed with you is a drop in the bucket of what's really going on in the country. This is about changing America, county by county, state by state. This is what we're about. We're dealing with sheriffs and chiefs of police and cops all across the country to do one thing. Keep your word. When you swore an oath in God's name to uphold, defend, protect, and preserve the U.S. Constitution, that you will do that first. You're not going to give me any of this crap that Joe was just pointing out to us, that, oh, the federal government is supreme because the Supremacy Clause. What about the 10th Amendment that was written 2.5 years later that said the 10th Amendment leaves all powers to the states that weren't specifically delegated to the federal government? That was done 2.5 years later, was it not, Joe? And so that pretty much nullifies the Supremacy Clause, even if they think it says that the federal government could do whatever they want. Did the Founding Fathers want a federal government that could do whatever it wanted?
No.
Then they wouldn't have fought the Revolutionary War. They wanted to stop a strong central government, and they fought a war to stop it, and then they formed a constitution to make sure of what? That it would remain impotent, small, with only discrete enumerated powers. Now, I could tell you a bunch of stories about what brought me here today and why I sued the federal government. And I was just from a small town in Safford, Arizona, and you can ask Randy Klaus, it was a small town. And I have friends from since I was like 4 years old. I've known Randy Klaus since I was four. Played softball with Roger. He was a clerk at, what was your job at Provo City?
I was with administration of the city.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. And I've got children here, and I've got people who have known me all my life, and I've got a guy, Bill Skokas, who went to college with me at Eastern Arizona College, and he kept stealing my girlfriend, and so finally, we both just left her and went to somebody better. So he's here in the audience. And, you know, what we're here tonight for is to so that you leave here with no mistaken ideas about the proper role of government and who's really in charge of the state of Utah. Okay? I'm going to show you the proof. I didn't want to come up here and entertain you or tell a few jokes and say, you know, we ought to be free, you know? Let's go try to be free for once, shall we? I came here to show you the proof. As a small town sheriff in Arizona, I sued the Clinton administration. I was sheriff. That's not my job. I'm supposed to go after drug dealers and make sure people are safe in their homes and to make sure that people aren't driving drunk and to get rid of drug dealers and to investigate crimes and to keep the peace. It's not my job to fight the Clinton administration. But I did. And it was so crazy. And I said, there's just no way that my wife's going to let me do this. And that's the crazy part. She did. She totally supported it. I couldn't believe it. Why didn't she do the wife thing? The right thing and the wife thing. And talk me out of it. No, she supports it. And so then we went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, which I never thought would happen. And we won. Six other sheriffs joined the lawsuit. And it actually took the name of the guy who filed second in that Sheriff Prince from Montana. It used to be the Matt Prince case, and I think some clerk did an eeny, meeny, miny, mo and said, oh, I like Prince better than Matt. And Prince's name was on it in most history books. But if you look up the case, there was two guys who were at the U.S. Supreme Court. It was Sheriff Prince and myself. And
Since I left the sheriff's office in January 1st, 1997, I've been writing books and trying to get this message out. And 3.5 years ago, I started a group called the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association because of one thing and one thing only. There is no hope in Washington, D.C. That's why I started this group. And that's why I go all across the country and work with sheriffs and chiefs in trying to get them to do one thing, and that is to make sure you're protected from the real criminals. From the FDA and the FBI and the IRS. Oh, the IRS. Did I say the IRS? Oh, my gosh. And we're still talking about their crimes. And we're now acting like, oh, that they don't give conservative organizations 501c3 status. Why are we asking for that in the first place? Especially churches. Congress shall make no law regarding an establishment of religion. And yet they hire an IRS to do it for them. And now it's okay. And the IRS has committed crime after crime after crime in this country against people like you, innocent people, like they did against my father after he retires from the FBI. And 2 years later, they go after him and say, you owe us $6,000. It was a lie. It was fabricated. And they've done that to numerous citizens since. And we continue to allow them to come into our counties and cities. And why? Why? Because they have national jurisdiction. Who had jurisdiction before the IRS was formed in your counties and cities? Who had jurisdiction before the FBI was formed in 1935? And then the FBI was formed, and then the sheriffs all gave the jurisdiction over to the FBI? Did that happen? Show me the contract on that. Show me the legislation. Show me the ceded authority from the states and the sheriffs over to the FBI. It did not happen. It's a lie. And so now why do we go along with them? Because they pay us. And right now I hear every day from sheriffs, well, if I do what Sheriff Matt says, they'll withhold funding. Wonderful. Run your own agency. Be independent and run your own agency. And how about a governor? And they say, well, if we stand up to the federal government, they're gonna cut off highway funds. Oh man, even worse. They might withhold education dollars. Wait a minute. You radicals. Ma'am back there, do that just one more time a little louder. Woohoo! That's exactly what you want to say. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Cut off the funds, because then what does your governor get to do and your state legislature get to do? Oh, we're going to do the same thing. We're not sending any more money to Washington, D.C. Why would you? All right, I got a question for you. This is rhetorical. You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you are against the wholesale allocation of abortion? Okay, I'm against it. Okay? But are you really against it? Then why do you pay money to Washington, D.C. to support the continuation and perpetuity of abortions? And why do you give money to Washington, D.C. and the federal government to support Planned Parenthood?
Governor Lutz.
Why do you do that? Yeah, why do you do that? Why do we do that? And why as a state do we continue to pay for our own demise and to continue to pay for abortion? Why do we do that? I thought we were supposed to be Christians and standing against that sort of thing. And yet, it could be so easy for us to stop that. And we don't do it. And we need governors that have true grit and the courage and the wherewithal to stand with this and say, we're not sending any more money to Washington, D.C. until they follow the Constitution, until they follow the principles that our founding fathers established for us. And these people fought and died for this, and now we're going, oh, well, you know, well, rights are whatever we say they are now. Rights are? Okay, a lot of you came here because of what some federal judge just recently did. And we've had a lot of federal judges do a lot of stupid things recently. And one of them is supposed to be this staunch conservative by the name of Justice Roberts. And he said, He said that Obamacare is constitutional, and quote, this is a quote, because it can be reasonably construed as a tax. Reasonably construed as a tax. Who told you that he declared it to be constitutional? The media. He didn't make it constitutional. He said it can be reasonably construed as a tax, and therefore it would be constitutional. Don't construe it as a tax, and it's not constitutional. And not only that, Roberts and the Supreme Court can't make a law a tax. Only Congress can do that.
And they said it
is not constitutional at this point. It's not a tax because only Congress can make it a tax, and they didn't. They have to go back. What Roberts should have told them is said, this has to get referred back to Congress to become a tax. Roberts cannot make it a tax. Even he knows that. And so somebody has lied to the American people about what that judge said. Then we have Judge, Judge Pauley in Washington that said, or in New York, that said that the NSA can do whatever they want as long as they're making us all safer. And because they're trying, well, let's see, what word did he use? Oh, he said because it would strike a blow to terrorism. So of course, so of course the NSA can keep tabs on all law-abiding citizens all they want because it could prevent another 9/11 attack. And so there's no, so basically they nullified the entire Constitution. Is it really any wonder? The Constitution means nothing to them, and they've told you over and over that it doesn't.
Just turn off the water.
Yeah, turn off the water.
That's right.
So, speaking of water, we're going to get into this case, okay? That's what I want to show you. But first and foremost, I want to say this to the homosexual community. We mean you no harm. And in fact, I don't even think government should be in the marriage business.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Not in the Constitution.
But no, it's not. But put that aside for right now. We all have family and friends that are probably in that community. Some handle it with a lot of dignity and do the right thing. I'm going to tell all of you, I don't care who you are, where you're from, I don't care if you're a homosexual in New York or Hawaii or Arizona, I don't care. Let's look at this. First, we ask you that you understand the history of America and that the intention of the Founding Fathers in developing a constitution that does one thing and did one thing, protect God-given innate rights. You're never going to convince us that homosexual marriage is one of those innate God-given rights. It's not. It's not. It's not one of those rights. If you read the Bible, you will see that it plain and simply is not. However, even with that, we're still willing to sit down with you so that everybody's constitutional God-given rights are protected. We will work hand in hand with any American who wants to join with us in that. Irrespective of race, color, or creed, or what you believe, or what your sexual preference is. But we, as parents in the United States of America and in the state of Utah, we have rights. And we choose not to teach that to our children, and we don't want you teaching it to them either. In our faces, and don't shove it down our throats, and we don't want any more of your gay appreciation parades, and we don't want any more of this that we're going to teach this in the schools without our permission and without us being involved. We don't want it taught there. Do not shove this agenda in our face or down our throats. We have a right to that, and you're not respecting our rights as parents. And when we come to the table on that issue and you respect our rights,
we're going to get somewhere in dealing with this issue. Now, with that said, I want each of you to see what I'm going to show you now is the evidence that I have said in the radio shows that we've been doing. Is this, you know what? If somebody could open that door, would that get a little cooler in here? Whatever it is, if we can open the back one down out here, and if you get too cold, ladies, come inside and sit on the stairway here or stairs. Yeah, sit down here. Sit on the floor. There's another chair here. Open some windows.
It's this one.
I think we get that open, we can make this a little cooler. We're probably violating several fire codes right now. So be ready to. If the fire department comes in, Sheriff, you take care of it for us. Okay. Okay, first of that, we do a quick review of this. Behind me, you'll see that this is the oath of office. Everyone in public office, everyone that stood up here, Kurt, Sheriff, all of you, I don't care if you're a dog catcher, some even require of teachers. Are there any teachers here in Utah? Do they require the oath of office of teachers in Utah? In Arizona, they do. You have to swear an oath of allegiance as a teacher because you're public, in public service. You have to swear an oath of allegiance to what? The United States Constitution. Okay? That's the first and foremost thing of your job. That's what you have to do. We expect that you will, one, keep your word and your oath. It's a solemn, sacred oath. Okay? Every public official has sworn that. What we're after is the evidence that they're keeping that oath. And we love those in public service that do. And they're a rarity. And what we're doing at CSP Way, we're making that where it's not a rarity. Okay? It's going to be common. But the Constitution itself requires that oath, and there it is. You're required by the supreme law of the land to swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution. The Founding Fathers put it in there, Article 6. Okay. Now, James Madison came up with something. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Joe Wolverton did not invent the principle of nullification or interposition. Okay? He did not do it. I'm sorry, Joe. Perfected it? Perhaps. James Madison and Thomas Jefferson both talked about the doctrine of nullification and that the states were in charge of the nullification. But another thing that he used that I loved in his Virginia Resolution was the word interpose. That's what we want. Your sheriffs and your chiefs of police and even patrol officers to feel and to understand and to absorb within their jobs that they see a wrong and that they are actually willing to stand and interpose between you and the threat. Can you imagine a sheriff telling the federal government, you're not doing that here as long as I'm sheriff and as long as I have breath in my body. You're not going to do that. Could be all sorts of different things. Could be the Forest Service problem that Sheriff Glenn Palmer has been fighting in Grand County, Oregon for the last 10 years. It could be something like Sheriff Finch did in Liberty County, Florida. It could be something like Sheriff Rogers did in Indiana, but Sheriff Clark did in Milwaukee. Standing for the right of the people to keep and bear arms against the chief of police of Milwaukee. That's who he was fighting. Fighting his own party. Fighting sometimes his own citizens. And they believe in this propaganda scheme that fewer guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens will make us all safer. Who came up with that idea? There's so many of those gun control experts that we're trying to emulate today. Wow. Okay, interpose. Now, here's another great line. Look at this line behind me. This came from a judge who was killed on January 8, 2011 in Tucson, Arizona. He was my judge, Judge John M. Rowe. He was the first one to hear my case when I sued the federal government. He was the district court judge, but look what he said in his ruling. Mac is forced to choose between keeping his oath or obeying the law, subjecting himself after law. subjecting himself to possible sanctions. Do you know what the sanctions were? The federal government actually threatened the sheriffs with arrest if we failed to comply with the Brady Bill. Threatened to arrest us if we failed to comply. Okay? And so, when we took it to court, Judge Roll was incensed by the federal government's arrogance of threatening to arrest us. Didn't offer to pay us. Now, I've got to correct Sam on this. If they had offered to pay me, would I have done it? Not even.
I didn't say you would have.
Yeah. You're right, you didn't.
I just said there was no funding.
There was no funding. He's right. And I would have taken it if they had. But this was the first time in American history where the federal government said, no money this time. We'll just arrest you if you fail to comply. And this is the threat of arrest. There it is. I told you I'd show you the evidence, right? Under a separate provision of the Gun Control Act, that's the Gun Control Act of 1968, any person who knowingly violates the section of the Gun Control Act amended by the Brady Bill shall be fined under this title, imprisoned for no more than 1 year or both. That was the threat of arrest. Okay? Now, we're going to keep going, and we're not going to look at all of these. This is about a three-hour deal, and we're going to just keep going. Okay, now look at this. This is from the decision. Do you have it in your hand? You have it in your hand. You can show it to anybody you want to. You can show somebody who says that the federal government trumps the states in everything. How is it that we, the states, the 13 original states, formed a new central government, and they're going to be above us? And that we're going to form a new government to be in charge of everything and every facet of our lives, that the Founding Fathers, that's what they did. No, they didn't. And I'm going to show you more evidence of that just as we go along. But this is the first big line in the Matt Prince case, where two small town sheriffs sue the federal government and win. And what does it say? We have held, however, that state legislatures... Boy, I'm glad there's state legislators here. I can tell you right now, okay? You're not subject to federal direction. Oh, but your sheriff is, right? Oh, and your county clerk is, right? And your dog catcher is, right? And your county commissioners are, and your city councils are, and your school boards are, right?
No.
They would be saying nothing of significance to say that the state legislatures are not subject to federal direction, but your county commission is. No, come on. And are the county commissioners and the city councils political subdivisions of the state? Yes, they are. They're part of the state of Utah. They are not enclaves of the federal government. It is incontestable that the Constitution established, and I'm trying to move so you can keep seeing, or you can look this up in your little booklet if you want to follow along there. It is incontestable that the Constitution established a system of dual sovereignty. It's like having parents, okay? They're dual sovereign. There's always a parent that's more in charge than the other. It's called the wife. The wife, in this case, in dual sovereignty with the states and the federal government, happens to be the states. They retain the bulk of the power, okay? Although the state surrendered, Scalia made a big mistake there. You know, everybody makes a mistake, but he did. Did the state surrender anything when they formed the new federal government?
No.
What's the 10th Amendment? The 10th Amendment uses the correct word. What is the word that should be used in this? Delegated.
Power not delegated.
Delegated. Correct. So the states delegated some powers to the new federal government. However, even though we did give some powers to them, we delegated some authorities and told them to do some things. It's Article 1, Section 8, isn't it? And they're assigned about 17 or 18 things.
Sure.
Any.
Just to clarify, Article 1, Section 8, 17 clauses. It's one
Correct.
Page. Okay?
Right.
It's 20 delegated powers specifically, and that's the only thing the federal government can
They don't
do.
Get anything else.
The 10th Amendment says that.
Yeah, just like he said. Okay. If they want to go outside that, what do they have to do? Refer to the 10th Amendment. They don't get to grant themselves power. Oh, you stupid people. You're dying in the streets. You can't go to the doctor on your own. You don't know how to do health care. What's the matter with you? So, of course, we need Barack Obama to come in and take care of us. Because we're so stupid, we can't take care of ourselves.
And so he comes in and he says, I'm going to grant the federal government authority to take over your health care. And we're just going to do it because we have to. We have to save your lives. And we're going to do it. What was supposed to stop it? The 10th Amendment. Ask yourself, we're going to ask, I want you to get ready for this answer. I want you to be ready with an answer. Who is supposed to enforce the 10th Amendment? No, don't say anything yet. Be formulating that answer. Be thinking about, love that answer. Okay? Caress it. But watch down here at the bottom of the page. What does it say about the states? What did the states do? They retained uninviolable sovereignty. Did I tell you I would show you the evidence? The evidence of this case is that the states are inviolably sovereign.
And whose words are these?
Does Governor Herbert know that?
Whose words are these?
Okay, he works for you. He needs to hear about this.
Sure.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of them read this? It was a case decided by two small town sheriffs regarding state sovereignty, state rights, and local autonomy. You can't, what we were telling them, Sheriff Prince and I told the federal government, we told Clinton and Janet Reno, you can't tell us what to do, you're not my boss. Sounds like little when we were little kids, huh, Randy? You're not my boss. Okay? All right. Who did I run into?
Make sure they know Scalia's words, Sheriff.
Yeah, and this is from the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay, let's go one more. All right, residual state sovereignty was also implicit, of course, in the Constitution's conferral upon Congress. Now, we're getting into some big, heavy stuff here, okay? Remember, it's in the little booklet you have in your hand. This quote is in there. It's from the United States Supreme Court. Came out June 27, 1997. Congress does not have all governmental powers. What kind do they have? But only discrete enumerated ones. What? This is from the United States Supreme Court saying that the federal government does not have all governmental powers. Do you know what? I looked in my Constitution as I was flying up here, because I know Kathy would want me to, and I looked again after I landed, and I looked again while I was riding in the car with Sam and Kurt. I studied Section 3, and or Article 3, sorry. And that's where it talks about the judicial power of the United States. And do you know that it does not use the word or even come close to saying that the judicial power of the United States is that the federal judicial branch will interpret the law for all of us? Because we're just too stupid. We can't figure out what it means when it says shall not be infringed. You see, we need that interpreted for us. Shall not be infringed. Ivan, do you need that interpreted? Somebody explain that to Ivan, would you? There is no power of the federal judicial branch to interpret the law. What are they supposed to do? Well, let me see. What was the same oath, Kurt? What was the same oath? What was the oath you took? To what? Okay. The judges took the same oath, didn't they? What are they supposed to do?
Defend your life, liberty, and property.
Enforce the U.S. Constitution. Defend life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or the ownership of property, as described in the Declaration of Independence. How do we know what government is for? It's the next line in the Declaration of Independence. That to secure these rights, which rights?
Our rights.
Well, life, liberty, property.
Life, liberty, property, and God against the U.S. Happiness.
Okay, we get that. Okay, we get it. We get it, right? What is government supposed to do?
Protect
life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's all they're supposed to do. That's it. They don't get anything else. If they're outside that, they're breaking the law. And you don't want them, and you don't need them. So, now, this paragraph right here is going to give you the ammunition you need to take care of the issues that we came here to talk about. I don't care if it's Obamacare. I don't care if it's states' rights and state sovereignty in your state constitution or the norms that we're trying to deal with.
that brought us here, one of the hot topics of the state of Utah right now. It's all in here. The federal government only has discrete enumerated powers. Very discrete and enumerated. As we were saying, Article 1, Section 8. Anything outside that, you go what? Which implication was rendered express. You're never going to see this anyplace else, folks. Those two words are astonishing. You remember all the congressmen that you've seen on YouTube that have said, we get to do whatever we want, the Constitution is flexible, it's livable and breathable, it just kind of goes with what's happening in society. Isn't that wonderful? The Founding Fathers were smart. There's no absolutes. That means absolute. Rendered express. And the only way that the enumerated powers and the impotence of the federal government is rendered express. How? By the 10th Amendment. My dear friends, that is more than monumental. Who's supposed to keep the federal government impotent off our backs and out of our lives and within Article 1, Section 8? Who's supposed to do that? Remember that question and the answer I told you to start loving and to formulate? Now, the question is, I want to ask it to every public official and every citizen in this room. Who, constitutionally, lawfully, and state of Utah-wise, is in charge, lawfully, of enforcing the 10th Amendment?
I am.
Me, myself, and I. Three of us.
The state of Utah. We the people. Working with state officials and sheriffs and chiefs of police and county commissioners and school boards and Governor Herbert and state legislatures, that we do what? Where'd that go? This free DVD that you get, what is the title of it? It's called Erecting the Barriers. That's what every state and every state official and every county official are supposed to do. When we keep our oath, it makes it messy for politicians, especially in Washington, D.C. That's what it's supposed to do. And they're so offended that we could messy up the waters for them. What are you doing? Why are you getting in the way? We have the Supremacy Clause. We're the federal government. We have jurisdiction from Bangor, Maine to Honolulu. No, you don't. You don't have it here. You see, I'm the duly elected sheriff of Davis County. And I promised the people when I took this job that I would protect their God-given rights as established within the United States and Utah constitutions. And you're not going to violate that here. Not as long as I'm sheriff. Not on my watch. Wouldn't you love half of the 3,100 sheriffs in America to say that to the federal government when they come into your counties? Yeah. What would happen? This paragraph is something you all should memorize. You should put the words rendered express in passion purple across your vision screen. Never forget it. Do not ever forget rendered express. Because it's only rendered express by you. Working with city councils, county commissioners, sheriffs, state reps, governors. You working with them hand in hand because this is our state and this country will not survive if we the people aren't involved in the process. This is the only country in world history where the most important part of government is we the people. You've got to get this. Then look at this. The 10th Amendment's assertion that all powers not delegated to the federal government or to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by the states are reserved to the states respectively to the people. You must understand that state sovereignty, as it is expressed within the Constitution and this decision, is enforced by us. And if we continue to bow down and kowtow to the propaganda scheme that's saying that the federal government can do whatever it wants, it's just a flat-out lie.
But we're doing it way too often. And we even think, seriously, part of that propaganda scheme is, we even think that their federal grants are free money. We do. I talk to chiefs and sheriffs about this all the time. And I've told them, it's immoral and unconstitutional for you to take money from the federal government. If you want to fund your agency, then do it right. Well, the money's there. We want to get our fair share. What would you say if the guy robbing the bank said the same thing? Come on. Let's get real. Come on. Okay. Remember, now you have this. You have that paragraph in your hand. You want some more? You want some more ammo? All right. You want some more evidence?
Yes.
Okay, we'll show you some more. The great innovation of this design was that our citizens would have two political capacities, one state and one federal. We all get that. Get the next line, though. Each protected from incursion by the other. What? Each protected from incursion by the other. So if the federal government is committing incursions in Utah, who's supposed to stop it? All state, everybody living here from St. George to what's most north, Logan?
Fremont.
Yes, okay, yeah, Fremont. All right, it's us. Wouldn't it be wonderful and wouldn't it make it a lot easier if we could work with state reps and our county commissioners and city councils in doing that, in erecting the barriers? Where does that line come from? Anybody know? Federalist Papers, James Madison. We can safely rely on the disposition of state legislatures to erect barriers against the encroachments of the national authority. Was this judge who nullified marriage in Utah federal? Then somebody ought to erect some barriers against him. How about the guy that said that the NSA can do whatever they want? If we knew they were going to do that, would we allow them to be in Utah? When they first came to build that big monstrosity here? You know what? Looks like we made a mistake there too, huh? All right, let's keep going. I want to show you more. There's more. And I want to get you out of here. Okay, now Madison. Can you believe this? Scalia quotes the Founding Fathers in a Supreme Court decision. He quotes the Federalist Papers, Founding Fathers, and here he goes with Madison. As Madison expressed it, you guys are going to want this one. Especially you county officials or city officials. The local or municipal authorities form distinct and independent portions of the supremacy. Joe, there's your supremacy clause. Who forms part of it? Counties and cities. Distinct and independent portions of the supremacy. Wow. You mean the federal government, it doesn't get all the supremacy? The supremacy clause didn't give it all to them? Distinct and independent portions of the supremacy belong to local or municipal authorities, counties and cities. And with that supremacy, they erect the barriers against the encroachments of the national authority. It's a great system. The Founding Fathers knew what they were doing. It's a balance. It's a system of balance and checks all the way through. The ultimate check and balance in this particular case is the state, it's the counties, it's the cities, and it's we the people. Now, as if you needed more ammunition, Scalia gives us a little more, okay? I want you to see this one too. This separation of the two spheres. Now he's talking about what he was just saying back here. Madison talked about the sphere of authority, the spheres, talking about the federal and state spheres of authority, that within their jurisdiction, no more subject within their respective spheres to the general authority than the general authority is subject to them within its own sphere. We're no more subject to them than they are to us. When we're in our proper sphere. Don't forget that Article 1, Section 8 tells you what their sphere is. Specifically, their sphere is small, meaningless.
and impotent. So, now, speaking of impotent, you remember I sued Bill Clinton, right? Okay, don't forget that part. Now remember, of all the people that sued Bill Clinton, I was the only one to do so on a non-sexual matter.
You're also the only guy that's still alive.
Yeah, and then live to tell about it. Yeah. Miracle, I'm not on that list of 116 people that just disappeared. Yeah. Okay, so again, more ammo. That little book. Okay, everybody raise your little book, okay? Okay. That book cost me about... I get this printed at MC in Provo, MC Printing. Costs about 50 cents per, because I usually can't afford too many at a time. And right now, they're on real huge special, and we just gave you this for free anyway. But you want me to tell you how much that's worth? $400,000. Now I'm going to ask you to leave your portion before you leave here tonight. It's only $400,000. It's yours, it's my gift to you, okay? You can keep the $400,000, okay? What I want you to do is make sure you pass it, you pay it forward, pass it on. Make sure other people know and understand about this so that we do what? We make sure that we're erecting the barriers. Because so many city councils don't get this, do they? You city councilmen that are here, they don't get it. They will actually say it's not their job to uphold and defend the Constitution. And yet they swore an oath to do that. They'll say it's not their job. Amazing. It's not their job to stand for liberty. Whose job is it then? Don't swear to do it if you're not going to do it. Okay? Now, let's get back here. This separation of the two spheres. Remember, the two spheres of authority, state and federal, is one of the Constitution's structural protections of liberty. Can it get any clearer, my dear friends?
No.
Structural protection of liberty is what? State sovereignty. The separation of powers between the two. And boy, it's not there anymore, is it?
No.
Let's keep going. Just as the separation and independence of the coordinate branches of the federal government serve to prevent the accumulation of excessive power in any one branch. Here's the solution, folks, to whatever you want. Was your key issue for being here tonight. A healthy balance of power between the states and the federal government will reduce the risk of tyranny and abuse from either front. What? Scalia just gave us the solution. He gave us the solution. A healthy balance of power between the states and the federal government will reduce the risk of tyranny and abuse from either front. Did the Founding Fathers worry about abuse and tyranny? That's why they made the Constitution, was to stop that. Who's going to uphold and defend that document?
We are.
The question.
We are.
So, let me ask you. Here's that question again. Do we have that healthy balance of power between the states and the federal government today?
No.
It's kind of a joke, isn't it? Because we have acquiesced. We have gone along with the propaganda schemes, and we have gone along with the money laundering and bribery schemes of Washington, D.C. We allow them to come into Utah and steal the money, take it back to Washington, make all these big, huge bureaucracies, and then for education, they'll send us back $5.50, and we grovel like a bunch of hungry peasant beggars to get it. Oh, please take care of our education system here. You know what? We're a bunch of hicks and dummies in Arizona, and that's where I live right now. I used to live in Utah. I lived here about 17 years. But I'll tell you one thing. We can run our own education and the Grand Canyon without the federal government. I've shown you about three paragraphs that you guys should be all using all across the state of Utah, from St. George to Tremont. This should be being used all over the state. And show your city councils
and educate them or get them replaced and show your county commissioners and show them this. If, you know what? I got to show you this. Before I got here, I got an email. You know, anybody know anybody in Emmett, Idaho? Do you know what Emmett, Idaho just did? They voted 5-1 of the city council to nullify the NDAA. To protect our citizens. Now you email me and I'll forward it to you, but you look up Emma, Idaho and see that they did it. It's all over the newspapers. I found it on Google. Found some other stuff on YouTube. They actually voted 5-1. That poor one guy, man. I wouldn't want to be him. Yeah. The one communist on the city council there in Idaho voted to nullify the part where it says, well, that the NDA could be used to imprison Emmett City citizens. And El Paso County, Colorado, did the same thing. They did. Ask Peggy Littleton, who's on our board of directors. She spoke at our convention. She talked about how the county commission of El Paso County voted to nullify gun control laws of the federal government and to nullify NDAA. How can you stand for freedom in America and not nullify the Patriot Act? How can you stand for freedom in America and keep your oath and not nullify NDAA? How can you let the IRS into your state and commit these crimes against your citizens? How can you let them come in and take the land from our farmers and ranchers and our Amish farmers? Do you know that Vernon Hershberger, right outside Madison, Wisconsin, was facing jail time because he wouldn't pasteurize his milk? And they went in and completely destroyed his farm and $250,000 worth of cheese and milk and butter right in front of his 9 children. I went out there because Vernon Hershberger asked me to. And it was just kind of a Sheriff Matt thing to do. And my friends and my family that are here will turn over and cough right now, I'm sure, and maybe faint because of what I'm going to tell you I did. I went all the way out to Madison, Wisconsin to drink some raw milk with him on the steps of the state capitol. What? Yeah! Such a big thing for me because I've done it now in Nevada at our convention that we had there. Sam will tell you there.
And, oh, we had to bring that stuff in. It was like running.
Yeah, and then raw milk. I'm drinking raw milk. Unpasteurized milk. Oh, it's great. But the thing of it is, I've done it in Nevada and Utah and Arizona and even in Kentucky before the Sheriff's Association. And it's against the law in Kentucky. I could have been arrested for drinking this illegal milk. I felt like a drug dealer. I was really nervous. The sheriff of Louisville was sitting right there next to me while I'm drinking this illegal milk. And you know, this is what my friends and family will tell you that know me all my life, or at least all their lives. I do all this and I hate milk.
But milk does a body good.
Yeah, it's freedom milk. And it's just the Sheriff Mac thing to do. So I went and did it, and what really touched me is I had dinner at his farm, Vernon Hershberger's farm, and his 9 kids at the table, at the dinner table, sang me a church hymn, and it was the most beautiful hymn I've ever heard in my life, about how we will stand against strife, and even if we lose, we'll continue to praise God. And it really brought a tear to my eye, and it was the most touching thing, and the good Lord has blessed us, and now we must bless each other. And we must stand firm in protecting each other, protecting our God-given rights, and protecting the liberties that we were blessed with as Americans. This is our charge. This is where we go from here. I have 10 grandchildren. That's why I came here tonight. My kids are all grown. They're all adults. They can make it on their own. But what are we leaving? Our children and our grandchildren, my dear friends. How can we say that we're going to go along with all this horrible crap going on and then still look our grandchildren in the eye and say, We did what we could. We did our best. No more excuses. Keep your word. Keep your oath. Follow the Constitution. Even if it costs you your job. Even if you lose your political position. Even if it costs you that. You must stop caring about getting reelected and start caring about liberty, freedom, and the Constitution. That's the difference between a politician and a citizen. We're going to close in about 5 minutes. I know it's getting late. Gee.
It's only 8:30, Mitch.
I know. We're going to... You'll leave hungry. Okay, so I want... Again, you have the evidence in your hand. What you're seeing up here is right here. I may have fabricated this. So you can look this case up. You can look it up for yourself. Okay? Or you can trust this. It's up to you. I've done a lot of heavy work for you already. A healthy balance of power, a healthy or a constitutional balance of power between the states and the federal government will reduce the risk of tyranny and abuse from either front. That's how we do it. You see how important the state is? And then what do? A judge speaks and we cower. Oh, well, we just have to do this then. The judge said so. Utah is not subject to federal direction. I already showed you that. It's not. A judge doesn't work in Utah. He doesn't supersede the governor or the state legislature.
Yeah, right.
Don't they know? Don't they know the proper role of government? Well, no. We'll teach it to them, won't we? Good. All right. Now look, he goes back and quotes Madison again. We do all of this because what happens? Hence, a double security arises to the rights of the people. The different governments will control each other at the same time that each is controlled by itself. Any question, please get it out now. Any question as to whether or not the federal government will control itself? How about the cute little girl there? You got any question about that? You don't? Okay, good. Some of these adults don't get it. I know you do. Folks, they're not going to control themselves. And I really like what Joe said at the beginning. Laugh at them, ignore them, and go on with your lives. And if you have people in this state that will enforce your values and your constitutional system, there's no stopping it. And we take it back. One sheriff, one county commission, one state rep, county by county, city by city, state by state, and we take back our freedoms, our constitution, and America. Can you have a free county? That's where you are to focus. Focus in your county. Go focus in your city. But that's where you start. And then they spread it up to some of the state reps. And you stand. What if the chief of police and the sheriff and a bunch of cops are standing there right next to, where's our county clerk? Right next to our county clerk in Provo, right? In Utah County? In Utah County, and saying, we're not issuing that. Yeah. See ya. I'll tell you what. Oh, you want to play the lottery? Well, you can drive up to Idaho or go over to California or come down to Arizona. Send me a dollar. I'll buy you one in Phoenix, okay? All right? But we got to split it. Okay? So, do you have the right to play the lottery? Yes. Are you going to do it in Utah? No. We don't have it here. And Utah County doesn't have certain marriage licenses either. And if you want to argue about it, talk to the sheriff.
Yeah. Talk to the
sheriff. It's a simple process. It's a simple process. It's called the rule of law. And we enforce it. Okay? All right. Now, this is my favorite quote from the entire decision. Okay? And we're going to end on this. We're definitely going to end on this. But the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. Don't you love that? Do you know how much government gets out of your life if your public officials believe that one sentence? But the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. It divides power among sovereigns and among branches of government precisely so that we may resist the temptation to concentrate power in one location as an expedient solution to the crisis of the day. End quote. Another question. Have you heard that thing about the crisis of the day lately in Washington? It's ever since Barack Hussein Obama occupied the White House. Fraudulently, but he's still there. And we have the first time in American history that a sheriff is actually investigating the president on a criminal matter because he forged his birth certificate. And you know what? He did. He did. I talked to Sheriff Arpaio. Arpaio and I are friends. I talked to him before he did the investigation. He was always saying how stupid this issue was. I told him the same thing. It's a non-issue. I said it on some radio shows. I said it on Sam's radio show. It's a non-issue. It's stupid. Then some people came to Sheriff Arpaio and showed him a little evidence that they had uncovered. And they said, we demand, as our sheriff, that you investigate this. And he told us at our convention, he goes, what was I going to do? Tell him no. They had some legitimate stuff. They had a legitimate complaint. I turned it over because the president, well, at least this one, doesn't deserve a full-time investigator, so I turned it over to the posse. And the investigator there, Mike Zulu, I told him to run with it, but I told him basically, hurry up and get this thing solved and show him that the birth certificate is fine and we'll get these people off our backs and go back to work. Mike Zulu tried to do that, but he came up with just the opposite. It was a complete and utter fabrication. Not 99%, 100% a fabrication. Okay? And now we're trying to get somewhere with that. But this is a sheriff doing his job. And we need to put the rest of the federal government on notice. You and the IRS, you and the FDA, you and anybody, any other EPA. Oh, how destructive has the EPA been to America and families and jobs? My God. And so we put them on notice. And you know that in this booklet, Scalia actually talks about the EPA being ruled unconstitutional in the early 1970s. I'm not making this up. Check it out yourself. Look it up on the internet. Don't believe me. What we're asking you to do is we're asking you to be a part of the CSPOA. We're asking you to join us in this holy cause of liberty. Yeah, we really need your donations. We want you to be a part of it. Get on our list. Be with us in this. On January 24th, we want you to make sure your sheriff is with us. I'm going to tell you again, Sheriff Winder is not welcome. Okay, I'm serious, he's not welcome. He would have to call me and we'd have to talk about it. Okay. But the other 28 are all welcome. We want them there. January 24th in Las Vegas.
Where?
Okay, Tuscany Hotel.
Tuscany?
Tuscany Hotel Casino. It's on the 24th. You need to arrive on the 23rd. Their room is paid for. Their meals on the 24th. Paid for. And that's where a lot of this comes from. We need your support on this. We want you to get involved in this. Become a citizen member in the posse. Become a lifetime member, whatever you can do. And then if you become a member tonight, and I've got lots of kids and people helping to take these from you when you leave at the door, okay? Hand this to them. Give them a check, cash, credit card. Make sure you write the credit card on here, though, or Kirk can take it in the back. That might take a little bit of time, but we got lots of kids here to do it and help. You get a free $49 DVD set called Erecting the Barriers.
It's what, awesome.
This is awesome.
It's really,
he's seen
really,
it.
Really good.
This is living evidence that what we're doing is working. You want to get to know Sheriff Clark or John Wayne from Milwaukee? Watch his speech in this. It'll absolutely knock your socks off. Joe Wolverton is on this. But lots of people. I mean, just like Sam was saying, Sheriff, this is worth $49. We're only charging you a one-year membership, and you get this free. So we're trying to do everything we can to show our tools and what we've been doing and what we're about. We want you a part of this. if we're going to be successful, do we need to support the groups that are boots on the ground making this sort of stuff happen? We are with the cause of liberty. That's what we're doing. That's all we're about. Yes, sir, real quick.
If I join your organization, will the IRS target me?
Sir, the only reason I want you to join is because you're next to me when they come after me. Sir, I don't... Yeah, absolutely. You know, I really love what he just said. He said, yes, fine, sign me up. Make sure he gets a form, Rich. All right? My son, Rich, Lucy, Rob. Anyway, do you have a form yet?
Richard.
Okay.
Answer this, though. The CSPOA doesn't share their information with anyone.
We don't share our information with anyone, and they might get past me, but they're not going to get past my wife. And she's not here tonight, but if she had known so many people and our friends from Utah and family would have been here tonight, she would have been here. She's actually visiting her ailing parents in Pima, Arizona. You have to be from Arizona to know where Pima is. But that's in Graham County, and that's where I was sheriff and near. Safford is the county seat where I was sheriff, and that's where I grew up. I went to grade school there, and I played Sandlot baseball there, and Southwest Village. And so, folks, what I want you to know is this was all real. This was all true. You can avoid it. You can hide from it. Or you can use this as an ammunition. I really think this is some amazing ammunition for you. This little booklet, keep it with your pocket constitutions, pass them around, order them off our website, or go over and pick them up at MC Printing and Probe. You can get them right there from there. And folks, let's take this message to the streets. And let's become ambassadors of what we're doing here. I'm going to tell you what I've dedicated. I promise to each of you that I'm dedicating my life, my liberty, and my sacred honor, and my fortune to this holy cause of liberty. I make that pledge to you. I dedicate this to all of you. Because I know that if we do this together, that you're going to be doing the same thing with me. And that this becomes the holy cause of liberty, as Patrick Henry called it. And we're all united in that holy cause. Can you imagine us being united in a peaceful process for liberty in America today? I'm sorry, I'm not going to sit down and discuss any act of violence with any of you. That's not what this is about. This is a holy cause of liberty in a peaceful manner. But we better be working hard, and we better be standing firm. And we better be ready to what? Pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor to this holy cause. Now, I've done this speech for a long time. I can't even remember how long. And I'm going to have somebody hold the mic here, because I close every speech with this, and I'm going to do it again tonight. And Libby's not here, right? Okay. My granddaughter does this with me. Her name's Libby. Her name's actually Liberty. She was born on the 4th of July. It's my first granddaughter. And what are you doing, Sam?
He's going to take the mic from me.
Oh. Okay, I got another holder. Okay. Right here, you got it. Okay. Now keep it up here because I got to use my hands. All right, good. All right. And when I was first a rookie cop here in Provo, I was a rookie cop, and in 1983, I went to a seminar. Huge mistake! Right, Bert? It was a huge mistake. Because it was Dr. Skousen teaching a class called The Constitution for Law Enforcement Officers. And I went to it. And I was converted. Totally converted. At this seminar, I got to tell you, Dr. Skousen, if any of you have seen his class, The Making of America series, he had all 240 big tough cops stand up. And he taught us a little kindergarten exercise. And here it is. And I close every one of my speeches. And I've done this in Bangor, Maine. And I've done it in Honolulu, Hawaii. And every place in between, except I haven't been to Alaska yet. But that's happening in May. So, I dedicate this to each of you. And I certainly dedicate it to the memory of Dr. Skousen and our founding fathers, who made all this possible for us. Now we must carry this forward. I'm asking you to join us in this cause. And this dedication, I call it America's Political Prayer. It goes like this. Don't forget, I learned this at police training. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And that's the eagle. Long may she be free.
Bravo! Yes, sir! Bravo! Thank you!
Can you have a business card?
Sorry for standing up, ladies and gentlemen. People are starting to walk out. You know it's time, you better wrap it up. All right, I want to say a couple of quick things first, and then we've got a couple of announcements and then a final prayer. The first thing I want to say is, do you guys know how you get your house back, your car back, your best friend Jack back, your dog back, the White House back? Don't they say you play a country song backwards? Well, we've been running from the Constitution way too long, ladies and gentlemen. You got to run to the Constitution for your solutions. All right, so we have several announcements to make. There's an event, what, on Wednesday night? Wednesday morning, where's it at?
It's at the Provo City Library, 10 a.m. We're organizing specifically for this pushback from the federal court's ruling on our definition of marriage. And we have a sign-up list. At the back, you can sign up if you want to be involved and help out.
Right? Yeah. We also have a petition that people are passing around for the Independent American Party to get ballot access. If you're not agreeing you want to be vote for the Independent American Party per se, but you are simply saying you believe in competition and you want ballot access. And it takes signatures to get that done, so please take a look at that. Last, I want to say about these DVDs. And I got a quick story to tell you. The DVDs are incredible. And they truly document the things that are occurring where people are literally standing in the gap for liberty. And it ends with a constitutional attorney named Chris Ann Hall talking about standing in the gap for liberty. But there's a quick story I want to tell you about Sheriff Jeff Christopher. Jeff Christopher is from the state of Delaware. There are three sheriffs in the state of Delaware, and Bo, I didn't say Joe, I said Bo Biden, that's Joe Biden's what, grandson?
Son.
Joe Biden's son, he is the attorney general in Delaware. Long story short, Sheriff Jeff Christopher is fighting this battle, and he just lost. And the battle that he's fighting is they say sheriffs have no arrest authority, he's merely a paper pusher in Delaware. Sheriff Jeff Christopher sued and went to the state court and lost to Bo Biden, and now he has a significant debt for legal matters. It's not over yet, because hopefully Jeff Christopher will appeal, but that's why it's so important. Did you know about Sheriff Jeff Christopher? Did you know that there's no sheriff in Delaware now except for a paper pusher, and they have no arrest authorities? They're trying to make that catapult across the nation, just like that, I don't know what you call that marriage, but anyway. We need to make sure that we truly defend our sheriffs, or pretty soon you won't have the constitutional sheriff, America's Last Hope. By the way, it's a book. You can get it available now to help you understand. But I just want to let you know, we are winning a lot of cases and there's a lot of progress, but we're losing some. And it takes organized Americans who put their money where their mouth is to retain our freedoms. So I beg you to get involved in any way the Lord leads you to do. And I'll end with a quick prayer.
Hey, Sam?
Yes.
question for the Sheriff Camp. The DVD was really inspiring to see what these sheriffs on the ground are doing. Yeah. Is there a way that people have success within their city councils and school boards and so on to email and publicly share best practices and what's working and see that we are making progress?
Right. That's the power of that DVD, and it's amazing. You couldn't all be there, but you can now, and you can see this testimony for yourself. And again, huge ammunition, huge inspiration that this has been. And again, the one on January 24th, we're still raising money for that, but we want you to get your sheriff there, get your chief of police there too. Tell them you want them there. No more of this mamby-pamby, I'm not going to get involved with the Holy Cause of Liberty thing. Why would they not? They work for you. Now, just real quickly, a final announcement before Sam gives the closing prayer. Senator Stuart Reed will be speaking on the bill affecting workplace employment rights, religious liberties for individuals and families, parental rights, what I started with off tonight, promote traditional family values at a public meeting Thursday, January 9th, 7 p.m., Payson City Council Chambers, 489 West Utah Avenue. Okay? So that's Payson City Council Chambers, January 9th.
Amen.
Now we have a short Q&A if anybody has any questions. I left that all for the end because some may not want to stay or have other commitments. But there are a little Q&A here.
Sam, tell them where they can watch this in the day or two.
All right, the video that was just taped of this event will be up at freedomsvoicemedia.com in a day or two. It'll be a free download and freely viewable. This whole event, for those who couldn't make it, freedomsvoicemedia.com.